Welcome to Jedi Master's Degree. I'm Biggs. Today we're going to cover Star Wars comics that came out from 1977 to 1983. But before we begin, I want to remind you we have an email address. It's jedimastersdegree@gmail.com. Tell me what you like, what you don't like, and what you'd like to see more of in Season 2. Season 1's in the books, but I'm always looking forward. I also want to take a quick moment to remind you that if you want to reach out on Instagram, I'm under NSF_network. And if Facebook's your thing, you can like the Not Safe for Network page and send me something there. All right, I think I got a lot of show today here, so let's just get started. Charles Lippincott, who is Lucasfilm's publicity advisor, approached DC Comics to pick up Star Wars before the movie was released. He got no traction, and so he met with Stan Lee about it in 1975. Stan Lee wanted no part of it until he could see the movie. Later, Lippincott showed Roy Thomas a production sketch of the Cantina sequence and told him that the movie would be a space opera a la Planet Comics. For those not in the know, Planet Comics was the first comic solely dedicated to science fiction, and it ran from 1940 to 1953. Thomas convinced Lee to pick it up after he told him that Alec Guinness was in the movie. Marvel got the licensing deal done for Star Wars comics in 1977. They started with the 6-issue adaptation of the movie. Jim Shooter, who was the editor-in-chief of Marvel at the time, said that Star Wars saved Marvel. The first 2 years of its run were down for the company financially, and Star Wars comics sold extremely well. The contract said that Lucas wouldn't see any royalties until they were selling 100,000 copies, so this gave Marvel a shot in the arm temporarily right when news printing costs were going through the roof. The comic was one of the best-selling books for any company, let alone Marvel, in 1979 and 1980. George Lucas renegotiated the contract from a stronger position. He told the creative team not to lean on using Darth Vader, not to develop a romance between Luke and Leia, thank God, and not to cover the Clone Wars. He gave Thomas the axe after seeing that once he passed the adaptation of the first movie, he chose to introduce Jackson, the super annoying space rabbit. Archie Goodwin took over the writing. Eventually, David Michelinie and later Joe Duffy would take over writing duties. Howard Chaykin was the first artist to draw the book. The pen would be passed to Carmen Infantano, Al Williamson, Carlos Garzon, Walt Williamson, Ron Frenz, and finally Cynthia Martin. There were 107 issues in its initial run, ending in 1986. There were also 3 annuals, 2 of which were covering, and a 4-issue Return of the Jedi adaptation, which ran its own miniseries. I'm not going to get into every detail here, and there's occasional issues that I've chosen to ignore. I'm putting aside the film adaptations because, honestly, we've gone over the core stories already, and any differences are a lot of work for trivial gain. I'm only going over stories from 77 to 83, since that concludes what I earmarked for the first season. There's a lot of material we could go over for season 2, and if you want to or don't want to hear it in the last 3 years, just shoot me an email, as we talked about up top. So picking up where we left off after A New Hope, Luke is seeking out a new rebel base with R2-D2 and C-3PO. They're unsure if Darth Vader survived the Battle of Yavin and worried that if he did, it was a matter of time before he reported the base to the rest of the Empire. Luke sends a message that he's found a suitable spot in the Drexel system, but the communications break up before they can hear the rest of what's transmitted. Meanwhile, Han Solo and Chewbacca are trying to protect the village for the Rebel Alliance. They're being raided by the Cloud Riders, who are led by Sergi X. Argantis, or the Arrogant One. He looks like a caricature of Geraldo Rivera, basically, if you know who that is. Kids, clearly you don't know who that is unless you live with an old man who watches Fox News. Han puts together a group called the Star Jumpers. It consists of the following members: Don Juan Quixote, a man who claims that he's a Jedi Knight, but no one believes him. Ameza, an ex-gang member who's female, so you know she's half naked. Jaxxon, the green giant aforementioned space rabbit who feels the need to let everybody know that he's carnivorous. And if you happen to be Ameza, he also informs her that he's DTF. Jim, the star-killing kid, a roguish character who could never live up to his name, even if he tries. Effie, the droid, his specialty is being a robot. And finally, Hedgie, which is an alien race called the Spiner. They have a porcupine-like hide and throw spikes out of their body. The Star Jumpers and Cloud Riders have a showdown. A shaman from the village decides that maybe the Star Jumpers aren't quite all they're cracked up to be and summons a Godzilla-style monster that shoots laser beams out of its head. The monster kills the remaining Cloud Riders as well as accidentally stomping on the shaman who summoned it. That means that the monster has no master and goes after everyone, and everything is like a hornet's nest that's knocked over by a bratty kid at a barbecue, causing them to sting their mom, grandpa, and the dog. The Star Jumpers step up to fight it but have no luck. Don Juan ignites his lightsaber but can't strike it because he's too slow to approach it. Han snatches it from his hand and hits the monster, causing it to disintegrate. Han and Chewie meet up with Leia, but they get abducted by Crimson Jack. He wants to ransom her and also find out where New Rebel base is so he can sell that information to the Empire. The pirates roll around in an Imperial cruiser. One of the pirates, a woman named Jolly, seems to have one characteristic. She really hates men. Han forces a kiss from Leia, and that's just to trick the pirates into thinking he's also a pirate? Leia is hauled off to the brig and mentions to Jolly that Han's a good kisser, and this sets up a huge internal conflict for her, because now she has two characteristics. She really hates men, but also, she really wants to kiss Han. The pirates manage to track down the planet that Luke has landed on. It's a more fanciful water world. The Star Wars version has dragon riders and salvagers who intentionally crash ships in their system, which is infinitely cooler than Kevin Costner with gills and devices that turn urine into water. Luke's ship crash lands and the salvagers give him a choice, work for them or they'll destroy his droids. Luke, not yet knowing how to force choke or do a mind trick, reluctantly agrees to work with them. Somehow Han manages to convince the pirates that yes, he's working for them and to let himself, Chewbacca, and Leia get in the Millennium Falcon and go to the surface. The plan immediately goes haywire when the salvagers turn their super crash landing device onto the Falcon. They make a water landing and the salvagers open fire on them. Luke tries to rescue Chewie, but he goes berserk because he thinks everyone on the skimmer is trying to kill him. Leia is taken prisoner again. Let's just start this as a drinking game if you're 21 or over. Take a drink every time I mention someone is captured. Start with three since we got one Luke and two Leias. By the way, this would be a good time to mention that I'm on the edge of poverty, so if you get alcohol poisoning, don't go after me in court. Han sees a dragon rider and joins up with them. Apparently the salvagers crash landed on the planet years ago and the segment of the group that could figure out how to ride a dragon splintered off of the rest of them. The signal that the salvagers used to crash the ships is hurting the dragons and so they went to war with each other. Han finds Luke. They fix the Falcon, rescue Leia, destroy the salvager ships. They take off into space and encounter the cruiser filled with pirates. Jolly has a smaller ship that she's making attacks from. The pirates knock her off course and abandon her so that they can kill Solo. Jolly manages to regain control of her ship and crash it into the cruiser to simplify her life and go back to the one thing she knew before Han entered her life, hating men. So there's several one-shots that the comic has that nearly always end in a flashback. In this one, Luke remembers going to Beggar's Canyon to Bullseye Womp Rats. Remember that? He wants to hang out with Biggs before he leaves for the Imperial Academy. Uncle Owen, the perpetual wet shirt, tells him no. He stomps off and his Aunt Beru tells him that Owen regretted not hanging out with Luke's father before he died. He wanted Anakin to stay on the moisture farm and help out. Instead, he left and died. So clearly, this didn't stay canon for very long. Luke wants adventure ever so badly, so he sneaks off to hang out with Biggs anyway and race ships. An injured scout warns them that Tusken Raiders believe that they had a sacred well polluted, so they're on a rampage. One sneaks up at the start of the race and stabs Big with a big poison-tipped spear. Luke rushes through Beggar's Canyon, even though no one has ever survived it. He intuitively uses the Force to get through it and eventually delivers him to help. Luke snaps out of his daydream and realizes he's living the adventure he always wanted to have when he was younger. A bounty hunter named Valance... Wait, Valance? Doesn't that sound like he should be a waiter on a cruise liner? Seriously, Valance? You should grab a Form 6251 and finish your 1040. You sure as hell shouldn't be a bounty hunter. Dirk, that's a bounty hunter name. Or how about Bear, Striker, Shadow, Diesel, Dutch, Mojave, Grey Cub, Blaze, Zane, Kane, Cobra, Colt, Mad Dog, Hellcat, Tomcat, Wildcat, Wolvesbane, Inferno, Nightshade, or Cyrus? Sorry, I got sidetracked. So, a bounty hunter named Valance is murdering droids and the people that are so dependent on them. He seems to harbor a drudge for all robotic life. We see him in a flashback that he fought in a battle for the Empire as a stormtrooper. He was severely injured and left for dead. We cut back to the present and see him going to a medical faculty where he destroys all the medical droids. He also erases his own medical records. His next move is to hunt down Han Solo. Valance has seen the tapes recover from the Death Star. He saw that Luke blew it up using a droid. He takes offense to the fact that Luke seems like he's friends with R2-D2 and C-3PO. So finding Han is a step towards finding Luke. Valance tracks down the Star Jumpers. Amaza in a real what-does-she-see-in-a-move now shacks up with Jackson. That's right. She has a whole galaxy of potential mates and she hooks up with the character that seems to embody the concept. What if Easter mixed with malt liquor? Valance takes Jackson hostage. Drink. And Amaza frees him. Because Jackson straight up sucks, Valance uses the information he provided to track down the target. Except he tracked down the Starkiller Kid instead of Solo. Amaza and Jackson find Valance and manage to repel Valance with TSK, which is easier to say because there's one less syllable. The bounty hunter slinks back to his ship, revealing to no one in particular that he has a deep, dark secret. Well, a deep, dark secret for himself, anyway. He was slashed across the face, and where it should be blood and tissue, it's actually metal. That's right, he's a cyborg! And when he was injured as a stormtrooper, they saved his life by cybernetically replacing half his body. Rolling along, Luke and Leia stop at a market for some supplies. They are recognized by someone in the crowd. Some cat you men, muscular cat-like aliens, walk by them. They are bodyguards for a winged woman. And like a random encounter in a D&D game, she drops her belt pouch and Luke picks it up to return it to her as the bodyguards attack him, calling him a thief. Luke and Leia run away and are rescued by Han. They get aboard the Falcon and Katya, an old flame and smuggler friend of Han, stops by. After Luke relays the story, Katya and Han realize that the winged woman is actually after them. Han tells Katya in private that he's going to deal with her alone and insists that she stay on the ship. A smoke demon drifts into the Falcon. It finds Katya and enters her body. She immediately disintegrates. Luke calls out an alarm and it drifts out to attack him. Luke draws his lightsaber and kills it. Somehow he realizes that the creature is made with the Force. Han comes back to the Falcon and they grimly tell Han that Katya was killed. He reluctantly spills that he, Katya, and 18 other Corellians that made up his smuggling crew went to a planet that was forbidden by the Empire. The winged woman, Karras, attacked them and killed all the crew but two of them. She seemed to have powers they couldn't understand. Han decides that they're going to deal with Karras, but they need to go back to that forbidden planet to do it. The Falcon is attacked by TIE fighters. They dispatch them easily, but at the end of the fight, a third ship enters the fray and traps them with a tractor beam. They touch down on the planet and see winged men. Han surrenders himself. Drink. Chewie surrenders himself as well, because what's Simon without a Garfunkel? Drink again. The rest of the group sees another winged man on the planet. He tells them that their lives will be determined by the Council. The Council informs them that they're duty-bound to protect the Empire. But when they see Luke's lightsaber, they discuss in private that Luke might be the one prophesied to set them free from Karras. They tell the group that they will help them free Han and Chewie. Karras sets an Imperial mind probe onto Han while shackling up Chewbacca to the wall. Luke and Leia show up with jetpacks and dispatch the stormtroopers in the front lair. While Leia sneaks in, Karras realizes that her minions are attacking her. She also sees Luke's lightsaber, and she realizes that her people must believe that he will fulfill the prophecy. It turns out that Karras has her own red lightsaber. She nearly beats Luke by using a psychic attack with Force. Luke manages to shake it off because George Lucas would be pissed if they killed the main character of his franchise, and manages to deal a fatal blow. One of the winged men informs Luke that during the Clone Wars, Obi-Wan Kenobi, his pupil, we call them Padawans now, and some other Jedi saved the planet. That's when they swore their fealty to the Jedi. Darth Vader came to the planet and told them that he killed Kenobi and all the remaining Jedi. Therefore, they were all enslaved to him. He chose to leave Karras to rule over them. Luke asks him who the pupil was, and they say that he wore the man's lightsaber. Luke thinks to himself that he never knew his father, but now he knew to be proud of him. So the really crazy thing about this is the comic writers had no knowledge of what was coming in future movies. It works even better than they intended. Because why would Vader know about the oath unless he was there? Plus, it sets up Luke's feelings for his own father to sting even more when he finds out that Vader's his father. Think about how his point of view of this incident changes after the Empire Strikes Back. Luke is practicing with his remotes and mentions that the Force just doesn't feel right. He falls over and goes into a coma. C-3PO tells Leia and Han that Luke is shut down. Right at that moment, some Imperials contact the Falcon and tell them to prepare to be boarded. They believe the Falcon attacked and stole a cargo ship attacks as being sent to the Empire from the wheel. Han sees a rebel soldier floating in space with no ship. They rescue him and hightail it away from the Imperials. They head to the wheel, a gambling hub and a wheel-shaped space station. The Empire is not allowed to enter the hub so they can continue to get giant revenues from people who prefer to gamble in a neutral location. The Empire also allows them to keep operating as long as they keep kicking back big tax payments. They board the wheel and Grayshade, an ex-senator who runs a hub, sees Leia. He recognizes her because not only was he her nemesis in the Imperial Senate, but he's also got a bit of a crush. Leia does not return the feelings, but he has no moral code, and he's really old and gross. Grayshade will not allow the Imperials to enter, stating that they have a pact with them and it will affect the wheel's cash flow. The Empire boards anyway, saying that they're within their rights because of the theft of the wheel's tribute to them. In private, the Imperial leader wants to set up a presence in the system and stay there. Leia figures out what the Empire is up to and tells Grayshade that she's thinking in this particular case they're on the same side. Grayshade agrees with Leia and secretly meet with an Imperial leader. He tells them he knows what he's up to and he's willing to help him out, but he wants to keep Leia as a reward. They laugh the laugh of ancient evil white men and shake hands in agreement. Greyshade manipulates situations to work out for his endgame. Chewbacca's apprehended with his bowcaster, and since weapons aren't allowed on board, he needs to fight in the gladiator pit. Han realizes that he doesn't have money to pay for his docking bills. So he does what any of us would do, pawn stuff. And in this particular case, he pawns the droids, but he still doesn't have enough. He gambles a bit, but he's still far short of what he needs. One of the dealers mentions he can earn enough money by fighting in the pits. He decides to do it. Luke is in a hospital bed, still in a coma. The doctors are preparing to make sure he never wakes up, and the droids are about to be melted into slag. The Empire steals a couple X-wings and flies them by the wheel. The gamblers gasp that the rebels would dare enter their space. Then they destroy one of the gamblers' ships. TIE fighters show up on the scene and destroy them, and the gamblers on the wheel all cheer. This is the moment when Leia realizes that Greyshade is allied with the Empire. He tells her that they each play their own games, and now she's his prisoner. A droid that runs all the machinations for the wheel for Greyshade is fascinated with R2 and 3PO. He frees them so he can study them. The droids see that Luke is missing from the hospital, so their newfound friend offers to help them find him. Leia is locked in the room. Drink. She manages to slip out. Meanwhile, Luke has a vision of Obi-Wan and Darth Vader, who has sensed Luke, is using psychic force powers to attack his mind. Obi-Wan guides Luke to defeating him. Once Vader is vanquished, Luke awakens. This is at the time that Leia tracks him down. Darth Vader finds the wreckage left behind by Valance. He interrogates a dying rebel to get the lead on where Luke is located. At the same time, the wheel droid admits to Greyshade that he aided the droids because he wanted a friend. He also observes that Greyshade took Leia because he wants companionship as well. In the gladiator pits, Han wins the battle. He starts a second battle in a spacesuit in zero gravity and realizes it's against several combatants, including Chewbacca. They take out all the other challengers. Han begs Chewie to shoot him or else they'll both be executed. The Imperial leader is upset with Greyshade, and as all the plans start to unravel, Greyshade poisons his drink and knocks him out. He offers Luke and Leia a space yacht to escape by if she will stay with him. At that moment, they see Chewbacca shooting Han on monitors. Leia breaks down and they don't realize that Solo Marty McFly did. He had a blaster shield under his shirt. They're brought into the morgue. The Imperial leader wakes up and orders that the rebels be killed on sight. They rush through the casino and the gamblers become angry at the Empire for their interference. The leader tracks down Greyshade but is shot by him. Luke, Leia, and the droids escape in the yacht just as Vader's Star Destroyer appears. Han and Chewie break out of the morgue and fly off into the Falcon. Just as Vader is going to have the Falcon destroyed, Luke senses Vader and attacks his mind. This allows for both ships to escape into hyperspace, albeit in different directions. Alright, next there's a one-shot where the Falcon is surrounded by two TIE fighters who believe that they're pirates. They can't destroy one without the other running for help. Han shoots an explosive cargo out of the back of his ship to blow up the TIE fighter behind him at the same time that they shoot the TIE in the front. And it reminds Leia of a story that Bale told her about Obi-Wan and the Old Republic. Obi-Wan meets a droid named RKO who's aboard a pleasure cruiser. It tells Obi-Wan that Bale thought he might not mind owning a droid for the trip. He says he's never owned one and doesn't intend on starting now, but he'd have him as a traveling companion. A drunk man comes over screaming that droids and people shouldn't mix because we're pushing the droids as slaves metaphor as far as we can in the story. Obi-Wan trips him and laughs. He tells a bartender to cut him off. The man pulls a knife and goes to stab him in the back. Without looking, he ignites his lightsaber and puts it backwards. The man keeps running towards him and skewers himself. A spice dealer compliments Kenobi on the matter. RKO goes back to Obi-Wan's cabin and tells him that they're turning off all the unnecessary systems of the ship. They're drifting into a debris field to pass through an area that a group of alien slavers control. Kenobi is summoned to the bridge because four spacecraft are following them. Kenobi dispatches two of them. Then as the other two are surrounding them, he shoots one in the front while he instructs the captain to fire at the same time for the ship in the rear, and both are destroyed. On the ship, the passengers think that the spice dealer is trying to sell them into slavery. Kenobi protects him, and so they think that they're in league with each other. Obi-Wan destroys the Furminator, which is the thing that dispenses alcohol. It turns out that it was sending out an electronic signal that the slavers were picking up on. Leia concludes saying that RKO told them the story when Kenobi was dropping him off in Alderaan. Luke tells her it was nice to hear a story about Ben again. Han quips that it was a nice story until she threw in all that nonsense about the Force. And then they laugh because the Force is a bunch of nonsense. So General Dodonna is upset that the rebel forces are getting pounded on Yavin 4. They have no idea where the TIE fighters are coming from. Their sensors haven't picked up a Star Destroyer and they've seen no trace of a base. Luke and Leia go across the galaxy to buy a space yacht. The salesman tells him that the Yavin system is being blockaded by the Empire because of House Taggeed searching for spice there. They race back to Yavin to warn the rebels. Luke laments to himself that he thought Leia was interested in him, but it seems like she's more interested in Han now that he's missing with Vader possibly trailing him. Leia suspects that the Empire has made up the story about the House of Taggeed searching for spice because they were humiliated in the battle when the Death Star was destroyed. She says the rebels looked around the system to make sure that the spice hunters wouldn't go to Yavin. She thinks that the Empire wants to fight the rebels without looking foolish if they lose again. They follow a Taggeed ship to slip into a blockade undetected. Baron Taggeed trains with the lightsaber. His number one goal is to get revenge on Darth Vader. Specifically, he wants to court the Emperor while doing Vader's job better than Vader can do it. He is feeding TIE fighters in a secret base that he created, and he's smuggling them in with spice ships. And if he gets a chance to cut off a head with the lightsaber, so be it. The grudge is because the Baron has cybernetic eyes because of Vader's saber. I imagine it's because Vader's saber hit his eyes. He notices that the rebel ship's behind him. They open fire. Luke uses the Force as he pilots to get out of harm's way. Leia says, "Thanks, Flyboy," and gives him a big kiss on the mouth. C-3PO, the robotic chastity belt, gets in their way.
Sometimes I hate that protocol droid.
They get in spacesuits and spy on the ship. They realize that the Empire has found a way to hide a base within Yavin 1, which is a gas giant. The Taggeed ship is releasing TIE fighters into it, where somehow a base was hidden within the gases. They get back to their ship and encounter more TIE fighters. Again, they narrowly escape and head back to the base on Yavin 4. The general uses Luke to use his stolen TIE fighter to enter the base. The gases make it impossible for the ships to navigate, but Luke uses the Force. He finds a TIE fighter pilot, which was shot down. Before he dispatches him, the man shoots R2-D2. Luke collects the astromech and blows up the base. Baron Taggeed vows revenge on Luke Skywalker. Meanwhile, Valance is disintegrating droids that a repairman had been contracted to fix. The repairman says he doesn't mind as long as Valance keeps paying him for destroying them. He also figured out how the rebels are getting their supplies. He's lying in wait for Luke to appear. While waiting, he sees a spy for Vader and kills him before he can send out a transmission. Luke and C-3PO go looking for spare parts for R2-D2. Luke approaches the repairman and Valance takes a shot at 3PO. Luke shoves him through a bomb blast doorway and seals it. He then makes the repairman tell him where the back entrance is and he shoos the droid through it. Valance blows open the door and Luke falls down playing possum. Valance runs over him to kill 3PO and Luke trips him. They fight and Luke deflects a blast back at his face, revealing he's a cyborg. Valance comes back at him and gets the upper hand. Right before he can kill Luke, 3PO rushes in to save him. Valance screams that droids don't sacrifice themselves for humans. C-3PO says maybe not in your experience, but it still happens. Then he says that someday people will accept droids as equals, even cyborgs. This confuses Valance and he releases him to rethink his droid hate. Han Solo is being hunted by Jabba. And because George Lucas hasn't created Jabba yet, he looks humanoid, pale, has long facial hair that sprouts out of his cheeks, black eyes, and a mouth that looks like it belongs to a cat. He sends two bounty hunters after Han, who are dispatched. The remaining bounty hunters want to blow up the Falcon while Chewie and Han Solo are in it, but Jabba won't allow it. He wants their freighter to make up for all the lost money on the spice debt. Han is chased by their ships and uses cannons to tunnel into a cavern that was created by stone mites. They eat away at an exit for the Falcon. Han escapes into space and is then contacted by Jabba. The stone mites killed everyone in his ship and he's the only one left. Han allows him to evacuate to the Falcon. Jabba privately decides that at another time he'll get the upper hand. Valance murders his way through a couple of stormtroopers. He finally gets to his target, Tyler Luchian, who's contemplating jumping into an acidic lake in front of him to protect the identity of Luke Skywalker. Valance has decided to murder him to prevent Vader from finding out Skywalker's identity. Just as Valance tracks him down, Vader appears. They fight and Vader force grabs his blaster, then impales him with a lightsaber. Vader steps over his body and the cyborg grabs him. Darth Vader tells him that if he stops him from interrogating the man, he'll find the same information from someone else, so what's the point? Valance says time. Luke's good and getting better, and the best thing he might be able to do for him is provide him with time. Vader kicks him into an acidic body of water. Valance hangs on the edge of the dock and tries to drag Vader in with him, but his arm is chopped off. Luchian sees Vader as victorious and decides to jump into the acid. Vader leaves to look for another lead. I like that they have no idea where Empire is going, and they aren't allowed to use Vader and Luke to battle it out, so they still find these interesting stories of Vader trying to find Luke. I think they did a pretty good job of that in the comics. So in another story, Leia is sent to an Imperial factory as a spy. The workers of the factory are in a forced labor camp. While the workers are in a line, a child is trying to plant a seed. She is stopped by a stormtrooper who threatens her mother. Baron Taggy is visiting to reassure the Emperor about his house government's projects after his base on Yavin exploded. Leia steals a blaster and they try to track her down using its signal, but she drops it and uses a location to throw the Empire off her scent. Leia finds Professor Horado, who knew her as a child. Baron Taggy finds her. She throws a tray of food into his face, which buys her the second she needs to make an exit. The little girl talks for a moment to Leia and is inspired by her. After Leia flees the planet, the girl plants her seed while the stormtroopers aren't watching, and that is what we call a metaphor. Luke takes a mission on Tatooine to try and find and recruit blockade runners. He visits his moisture farm and takes a moment to mourn his aunt and uncle. He leaves and bumps into an old friend, Fixer. His friend tells him that he doesn't work at Tashi Station anymore, now he works for Tadji's. And then Luke says, "But I wanted to go to Tashi Station for some power converters. How am I going to get a discount?" Luke goes to Mos Eisley Cantina and runs into Han and Chewie, who had just dropped off Jabba. Fixer finds Luke and tells him that he had no choice but to report him. Just then, stormtroopers bust into the place and chase him out. They blast into space where they see Baron Taggy's ships. Men are loading cargo from ship to ship in spacesuits. Luke sneaks aboard and is captured. Drink. Han goes back to Yavin and reports to Leia. Baron Taggy reveals to Luke that they have a device that creates extreme cold to stop rebel blockade runners when they try to avoid the Empire through a force field. The Baron, who is, by the way, way out of his depth, decides to have himself a lightsaber fight with Luke. At first, Taggy has the upper hand, but Ben's Force Ghost reminds Luke to feel the Force. Luke starts to dominate, bolstered by a movie quote. The Baron turns out the lights to use his cybernetic eyes to his advantage. He slashes at Luke and Luke parries, and then in one fluid motion destroys the cybernetic eyes without hurting him in the process. The Baron goes into shock. Luke steals a TIE fighter that he doesn't realize was planted there by Baron's brother Silas. It has no shield and enough fuel to get him to a trap. Han and Leia come back to get Luke with the other rebel ships. Silas plans to freeze them with the supervillain device but narrowly misses. Luke ejects from his ship before it crashes. He uses a spacesuit with thrusters to get to the tower that controls the freeze ray. It's shielded, but Luke cuts the ground from under it with his lightsaber and then destroys it anyway. The Taggy ship is destroyed, but Luke is picked up by the Falcon. Vader, still looking for who destroyed the Death Star, obtains Luke's name from a rebel shortly before murdering him. Vader calls for the leader of House Taggy, which is now a general under Vader's command. He shows that his brothers did not die in the destruction of the ship. They're being kept in stasis. If the general doesn't continue the family tradition of trying to get revenge and instead work with him, he will keep them in stasis. This will also keep the general as the leader of his house. And otherwise, he'll end all three of their lives as well as his sister, who we haven't met yet. Wink, wink. A representative of the temple worshipping the Circle of Life comes to Yavin. Domina tells them that Vader is trying to convince them to side with the Empire. General Dodonna wants to send Leia since it's a diplomatic mission. The woman from the temple sees something in Luke and says she wants him to represent the Alliance. The rest of the gang privately decide that they will be in the system disguised as a normal freighter listening in with a bug they planted on him. They head to the temple and a night check attacks. Luke has to kill it. Then Vader steps out of a clearing and Luke starts to lose it. Later we find Domina is in league with Vader because she's a Teggy and believes that Luke was responsible for the death of her brothers. Vader used the Force on the night check to attack Luke and make him look bad. Later, Luke sees a cat-like creature that's about to attack Domina. He kills it, and the council members look upset at Luke since it was Taggy's pet. Meanwhile, the Falcon is pulled into the Star Destroyer's tractor beam. The Imperials reject the falsified documents and take Han, Chewie, and C-3PO prisoner. They don't find Leia because Han had false bottoms inserted into hidden compartments. He was concerned that there would be a record of his compartment since they landed on the Death Star, so he took an extra precaution. Leia informs Luke through R2 what's going on. Luke finds out that Domina was not only moving against him, but has become the High Priestess due to Vader's weakening the other priest's mind with the Force. Luke challenges Vader to a duel. She insists on a location off of the temple called the Crystal Valley. It's an area where crystal structures shoot out of the ground and then crash down. Domina wants to make sure that they're both killed. Ooh, intrigue upon intrigue. Leia sets off the concussion blast, freeing Baron from the stasis. The gang escapes with a hidden stowaway, Baron Taggy. He forces them to go to the planet to make sure his sister is alright. He finds Vader and is then held in place with the Force. Vader shows him a Visi cube of the image of his innocent sister Domina being corrupted by Vader. This is all part of Vader's plan for revenge on the Baron all along. Luke finds Vader and in the course of their duel senses fear. He kills him and realizes that Vader used the Force to make Baron look like him and then forced him to fight as a final revenge. He was scouting Luke's ability for the first time they met. Vader escapes in his TIE fighter and Domina is told the whole truth, and while she doesn't hold the rebels accountable, she lets Luke know that she holds him responsible and will get even one day. And this is where the Empire Strikes Back adaptation falls into place. I'm not going to go through that whole thing, but let's just remember four key things here for the future stories. The Rebel base was moved to Hoth, and it's then abandoned. Luke knows that Vader's his father. Leia declares her love for Han. And Solo is taken by Boba Fett and Carbonite, while Lando takes his place. Admiral Damon Krell creates a giant Imperial space probe that has weapons and is heavily armed. He tears through a Rebel ship. Taking control of the ship, it heads for the Rebel fleet. It is also armed with a giant bomb. Luke intercepts it and is shot down. He escapes out of it in a spacesuit and into the ship. The probe droid sees Luke and heads back to Krell Star Destroyer. It's reverting back to Vader's original programming to capture Luke and send him to the Emperor. Luke jettons out with an escape pod. The probe droid brings the ship next to the destroyer and detonates, annihilating both. Lando and Chewie have the Falcon's hyperdrive engine break down. They see a floating city and they land on it. They're attacked by a Nosferatu-looking creature. A man who looks like a superhero in blue tights and a yellow cape makes it disappear. Lando recognizes that he's Cody's Sunchild, a rebel hero from when he's a child. Cody tells him that when their hyperdrive malfunctioned, it punctured a hole in the dimension that they now reside in. Cody relates a story about when he fell into a cave. It contained a fire that the dimensional aliens worship. Cody became their god and could create anything with his mind. He realized that every time he got angry, demons were called. So he created the city and became a pacifist. Lando calls him a coward and tells him that the Empire is enslaving people. Now, I know that one half of this franchise is wars, but I'm not really a fan of people calling pacifists cowards. And this feels pretty out of place for smooth-talking Lando. Just saying. A Star Destroyer was also sucked into the rift at some point. It opens fire on the city. Lando and Chewie battle it to no avail. Cody releases demons on the destroyer, but then decides to prove his dedication to pacifism. He makes the demons disappear and lets them destroy the city. The demons had destroyed their hyperdrives, however, so Lando and Chewie fix their hyperdrive to fly through the rift, stranding the Star Destroyer there forever. The rebels come across a destroyed Imperial battle droid. They want to fix it so that they can see how it works in battle. The only place where they know it can get fixed is on Droid World. They approach a moon, but realize, that's no moon. That's the Droid World, which is a synthetic moon created by a man named Kligan, who's a cyborg. Kligan was injured in the Clone Wars and has forsaken mankind as a result. He won't allow Luke on board, but he does allow R2-D2 and C-3PO. He also says that he will keep any droid he fixes. 3PO suggests that R2 can scan schematics for the rebels, so it won't be a total loss. Meanwhile, an Imperial droid decides to take over Droid World. This is a giant battle of robots with Klingon's side winning. Klingon is disappointed in his own hubris and thinking that he could change the nature of an Imperial droid. R2 and C-3PO leave with the schematics and reboard Luke's ship. The Imperial droid contacts the Empire and lets them know its location, so as a result, Droid World moves itself to keep the Empire from finding it. Princess Leia has arrived on Argoa, a banking planet. No one is allowed to have weapons except for citizens. She goes through customs and sees Darth Vader. They both have a diplomatic pouch that customs is not allowed to check. Vader is flanked by a bodyguard, a valet, and a banker, but really they're members of the Assassin's Guild. Leia identifies that Vader is there to stop a loan for the rebels, which will bankroll a new squadron of X-Wings. One of the assassins tries to kill Leia with his bare hands. Leia reaches in her bag and fires a ray. Vader cries out like a little child that it's not fair that she has a weapon. Leia points out to an official that it's a density ray. It will make the assassin go to the core of the planet and back over the course of 7 years. It'll be just fine. His other two assassins ask Vader away from prying ears if it was a good idea to attack so early. He says he doesn't discuss his plan with thugs. They say they're from the Assassin's Guild and that they deserve respect. He says that they're pawns and will be used as such. It's amazing to me that Vader doesn't inspire much confidence in his troops. I would love to see his TED talk using workers as pawns. Someone in the crowd gasps and then he immediately force chokes him. It would be the first TED talk on pay-per-view. Leia and the lone officer are looking at butterflies. Leia realizes that one of them is venomous. She swats it down. Vader, controlling it through the force, fumes and walks off. Later, one of the assassins takes a shot at the lone officer. It turns out to be a hologram projected by R2. He is hauled off to Space Bank Jail. Drink. Finally, Vader opens up his diplomatic bag and pulls out a lightsaber. He cuts the lone officer in half. It turns out, however, that he's actually a droid. Leia filmed Vader doing it with R2 so that she could get him kicked off the planet. But Vader's real secret objective is to get the crown jewels of Alderaan that was being used for a Rebel Down payment because they backed the Alliance's currency. He walks away with his victory. Okay, another issue here. Luke and Leia find a missing prince named Dened. He crash-landed and lost his lover. He was saved by a third member of the crew, an old man with brain damage named Jedediah. Get it? There's Jedi in the name. Super clever, right? He had at one point been asked to be a Jedi Knight, but refused. If they don't get Dened back to his home planet soon, his younger brother, who sides with the Empire, will ascend to the throne. On the trip to Dened's home planet, he falls in love with Leia as Luke looks on. They arrive on the planet just in time to stop his brother's coronation. An Empire's representative and the brothers plot to assassinate Dened, but they also want to use Luke, disguised as Dened's bodyguard, to do it. Dened announces in public that he intends to marry Leia. Eventually, the bad guys discover Luke's identity. The brother has an energy weapon similar to a lightsaber, but legally different, you know, like a laser sword brand toy. He and Luke get in a duel. Luke calls out for help through the Force, and Jedediah answers, saving Luke. Dened becomes prince again, but without Leia by his side. So in another story here, Lando and Chewie get called off from searching for Han. Leia tells him that Luke has found an abandoned Star Destroyer. His crew investigated and found a red gem. Everyone but Luke died from a virus that crimsons him forever. He lays in a coma. Luke dreams of fighting Vader and says he can't kill him because he's his father. Yoda and Obi-Wan appear to tell him he's on the wrong path and to trust his feelings. Luke drops his lightsaber and steps into Vader's killing blow. It goes through him, but does not harm him. The dream ends with an explosion of crimson. Leia prods Chewie to tell them about the time he and Han found two red gems. Chewie eventually tells him that he was shanghaied by an alien from the Red Nebula named Klisk. They have a single manacle that will cause pain or explode if they cause trouble. They land on a Red Nebula, and Klisk charges them to bring back the two red gems from a temple. They find the stones and find out that they protect the planet from being crushed by meteors. Han gives a bag of stones to Klisk, passing them off as the red gems. Klisk takes the bag and flies the ship into the sun to destroy them and restore the natural order of the planet. The priests of the temples have a ship that he gives to Han and Chewie. They leave and return to their smuggling ways. Imagine Chewbacca telling this whole story like the holiday special. Amazing. Bosk, Zuckuss, and IG-88, the bounty hunters from The Empire Strikes Back, grab everyone from the temple on Domina's orders. She grabbed the stones from the temple and killed everyone after finding out their secrets from the priest. Darth Vader tried to steal a gem, which unleashed the Scarlet Forever. Domina and Leia come to terms to reunite the gems so that everyone won't die. At the end of the story, Domina goes flying off with the gems, but not before Lando mentions to the bounty hunters that they could get quite a few credits by turning Domina over to the Empire. So the story is actually continued in Star Wars issue 108, which was made by Disney in May 2019 to conclude the story. So that's kind of interesting. They waited that long to finish it. The rebels find out that the Empire is constructing a ship called the Tarkin. It can destroy planets like the Death Star, but it's heavily shielded and more mobile. It does not have the flaw in the vent, so the rebels will have to blow it up from the inside. Luke and Leia disguise as an Imperial crew to get on board. Leia, who's having a difficult time dealing with Han's absence, makes it clear in a very cold manner that Lando wasn't invited. The Tarkin is now the personal ship for Darth Vader. He gets upset at a crew member and uses the Force to walk him out of an airlock. The other officers from the Tarkin meet in secret and agree in self-preservation to murder Darth Vader. I guess they saw the TED Talk. The crew sneaks aboard the ship and Leia wires the cannons on the ship to essentially fire at themselves. Luke finds Vader, but before they can battle, an officer flushes Vader out of the airlock. He manages to pull himself back on board and shut the door, but the crew has already escaped the ship. Vader jumps in his private TIE fighter and follows. Luke manages to lose him, and Lando disobeys Leia's orders and picks him up. The Tarkin opens fire on the Falcon and it blows itself up. Leia has a quiet moment on her ship and remembers Alderaan being destroyed. She blames herself. She goes on a mission and gets marooned on a planet called Shiva 4. A group of marauders are about to kill her, but then another group saves her. She does not speak their language, though over time she learns to. The leader of the group, Aaron Pacebringer, is married, but he seems to be falling in love with her. Imperial commander troops, led by Scar, abduct them and take them to a hidden Imperial base. The trooper captures Aaron and Leia. Drink. They escape and Leia has to stab a man to death, which puts her in a bit of shock. They steal a TIE fighter and decimate the Empire troops. A bomb is discovered and it's about to detonate. Leia disarms right as Luke shows up. Aaron goes back to his wife and she forgives his wandering eye because it's settled back on her. Because it's totally human nature to let your husband run off with another woman and immediately forgive him, even though he only came back because he was rejected, right? Am I right? The crew sees a Star Destroyer as they leave the planet. Luke has Lando fly by a black hole and then use the Force to pilot their way out of it. The Star Destroyer gets sucked in and Luke feels everyone dying. He is shook up by it, and Leia tells him the day we don't feel that way, Vader is won. Leia and Chewbacca are on a new planet, and they realize that the energy from their weapons and supplies have been drained by a small creature that looks like a tribble with bad ears. There's apparently a group of them, and the leader's name is Plif. He apologizes and tells them through telepathy that they fed off the energy, and normally they get it from a certain cave. But that cave has been blocked off by a Slivalith, a huge green winged creature that wants the heat of the cave. The rebels agree to help Plif. Since her weapons have no power, they use spears to defeat the Slivalith. After obtaining the victory, one of the rebels mentions this would be the perfect place for a base since it's heated and has a built-in power source. Plif looks worried. Leia says that they will not take the cave away from them. That's something the Empire would do. As they are leaving, Plif offers to share the cave with the rebels. Leia says she thinks she loves him. Lando returns to Cloud City and notices that it seems to be abandoned. He sees Lobot, who is trying to kill him. He escapes Lobot several times and finds the remaining stormtroopers. Lando dispatches them, but eventually makes a truce with the regional governor. The governor tells Lando that Ugnaughts planted 12 bombs in Cloud City. They had time to evacuate everyone, but not to find the bombs. Together, they trap Lobot and reprogram him. Lobot tracks down the bombs and disarms them. Lando tells the governor that he should treat the Ugnaughts as well as he did when he ran Cloud City. The governor says that the Ugnaughts will get what's coming to them and then kicks Lando off the platform. Because a regional governor is going to do what a regional governor is going to do. Lobot takes probably too long to tell the governor that he now looks at the governor as the threat to Cloud City. After strapping on a jetpack and leaping down to save Lando. So that's a lot while somebody's falling to their death, you know? Lobot starts to catch up with Lando and tells him to spread out his limb to increase his wind resistance. He does and Lobot is able to get him before they land on a ship of the Ugnaughts. Since Lando has treated them well when they ran off to Cloud City, they decide not to kill him, but they will take him to the king who they believe will kill him, because the devil's in the details. The king tells Lando that they plan to blow up Cloud City because the governor doubled production and essentially had slave labor stealing the extra money. Lando leads the Ugnaughts and Lobot back to Cloud City where Luke lands in an X-Wing. The governor shoots Lobot in his implant so that he can't rearm the bombs. Luke uses a Force to trick the governor and make him think that it's exploding by making some transistors pop. The remaining Imperials evacuate and Lando gets into the computer and has the governor's last deposit transferred to Vader's account so that he'll give the governor a TED talk, so to speak. By the way, a lot of bank account talk in Star Wars comics. I kind of love it. I love those little details in the Star Wars universe. It just fleshes it out even more. Leia has most of the Rebel fleet move within a sun. They have a pyramid device that keeps the troposphere cool enough to hide the ships. The device starts to heat up when a circuit malfunctions right as an Imperial patrol flies by. C-3PO and R2-D2 go out to the device while R2 is using his fire extinguisher for thrust to the control panels. Leia offers him medals while looking around to make sure Chewbacca did not hear her. Meanwhile, Luke and Lando are looking to buy 4 TIE fighters at a bazaar from a man named Orion Ferret. Lando has a bad feeling about him and definitely doesn't trust him. Maybe it's because his last name is Ferret. Seriously, that sounds shifty, right? Orion has had his ships reconstructed from scraps at battlefields. He secretly plans to have Luke and Lando killed so that he can keep them as well as the money. Orion sends them to a garbage dump planet to retrieve them. They leave Chewbacca behind his insurance. Lando and Luke see the TIE fighters, but there's a giant caterpillar-like monster in between them and the ships. They're rescued by some people hiding out from the Empire under the garbage dump. Luke and Lando find out that Ferret controls a monster. Eventually, they find a way to control it with radio signals, and they get to the TIE fighters and go on their merry way. On their way out, they inform Orion that they left control of the caterpillar to the residents of the planet. He says, "I'll get you, Skywalker and Calrissian, next time." He doesn't say that. They take the TIE fighters to an Imperial base and steal information on an Imperial armada. The Rebels return to their own base. Shira, a Rebel fighter who's been making eyes with Luke for a couple issues, but it wasn't notable enough to mention it, and whom Princess Leia can't stand, says she needs to leave for home. Leia says if she leaves, she can't come back. Luke says he'll accompany her so that they don't lose her. Shira goes back to her home planet to wring blood out of her finger over a shrine. Suddenly, some marauders attack. She explains that they work for the Empire and murdered her family. She swore a blood oath that she would join the Rebel Alliance. Shira escapes to an X-Wing and swoops in, scattering the marauders before they can get to the Rebels. The Rebels have an important mission to destroy the flagship of the Imperials because it carries important cargo. Shira says the mission is dangerous, and so if she doesn't make it back, and then plants one on Luke. They jump into their stolen TIE fighters and fly to the Imperial ship. They use a confusion of who's who to attack. The Imperials jam their communication so that no one can tell who's an Imperial and who's a Rebel. Luke uses the Force to figure out who his enemies are and blows up a TIE fighter. Then he manages to bring down the flagship. Luke gets back to the Rebel base, and he's shown a video that when he used the Force, he destroyed Shira's TIE fighter. Leia believed that he didn't do it on purpose, but can't back him because she needs to hold the Alliance together and Shira was very popular. Luke understands, and they stage a fight as Luke leaves her office. Everyone gives Luke the cold shoulder. Lando helps Luke steal the Falcon so that he can prove his innocence on his own. Chewbacca insists on going with him. They travel back to Shira's home planet and find out from the Marauders that there were no humans on the planet until the Empire took over. Luke looks at the shrine and realizes there's a strange transmitter there. He puts a drop of blood from his own finger on it and a holograph of Darth Vader appears. He tells Luke that it's clear his plan worked since his blood was on the shrine. Shira was a spy who worked to discredit Luke with the Rebels so that he would have no choice but to go back to Daddy. Luke sneaks in an Imperial computer and finds out that Shira was raised in Palpatine's palace. She works for Imperial Special Forces. She was biologically altered to reject pain and to accelerate physical healing processes. She had the top scores in the Imperial Academy for Intellect. They destroyed the entire city she was allegedly from just to convince the Rebels of her fake identity. Now that is a cover story. Stormtroopers interrupt as Luke tries to get the data chip for proof. He escapes to the Falcon but realizes that Chewbacca is not with him. Chewie was trapped in a magnetic shield. Drink. Luke manages to free him and together they blast off into hyperspace. Vader appears right as Luke makes his exit and stomps off the bridge. Vader heads to a room with the Bacta tank where we see Shira floating inside healing. A tribunal is held and Luke has been given his command back. A Rebel officer's paperweight suddenly shows an image of Luke from the past. The paperweight is made from a stone that a foundry the Rebels deserted was created from. The Empire later took it over. The Rebels had deserted it because it stopped yielding after it cooled down. They now realize that these stones reflect images from the past when they heat up. They need to blow up the foundry before the Empire finds out. Luke sneaks into the foundry and sets the charges, but is held up by an officer who's been demoted by Vader. She escapes and it blows up. All the Rebels jump off into hyperspace except for Luke, whose hyperdrive engine is damaged. Luke lands on a desert planet and hides his X-Wing in a cave to keep out of sight from Imperial patrols. He winds up going into a town when he discovers his rations are ruined. He meets a woman who asks him to help guard her moisture farm. He decides to help her. In the dead of night, everyone hears a voice that says not to worry, and then suddenly they fall asleep. Luke awakens, and the woman is gone and taken to a brigand's fort at the top of a mountain along with all the water. Luke climbs the mountain and finds her. He then finds out that the brigands are controlling a gaseous alien and threatening to kill half its body that's trapped in a jar. They force it to knock out people and steal their water. Eventually, they free the other half of the alien and encourages them to shatter the containers with the water, which will drown the brigands. They reluctantly do it. After the brigands have been killed, the alien seeds the clouds so that it rains. Luke flies out under the cover of clouds and sees a whole new world. Don't you dare close your eyes. A little more ominous than the Disney song, right? I guess Disney owns Star Wars now, so... A whole new world, don't you dare close your eyes. There you go. The Rebels have information on Boba Fett. They uncovered that he worked with and then cut out one of the bounty hunters from their share of the reward for Han Solo. So they're going to try and contact Bossk, IG-88, and Dengar to see if they'll give up Solo's location. Leia and C-3PO go to Mandalore to track down Dengar. She sees Boba Fett fighting some slavers. Out of instinct, she shoots the slavers down, saving him, but it turns out it's not Boba Fett at all, but another Mandalorian named Fenn. He had worked for the Empire after the Clone Wars, but they returned to Mandalore and saw the Empire was letting slavers run wild, so now he fights the slavers. They take Dengar prisoner and are exchanging him for one of their prisoners, Drink. Dengar says that he will help Leia and tell her whatever she wants to know. That is, if she breaks him out. She does, and he uses a hidden transmitter to contact the Empire on their location to get him a reward. Leia and 3PO are taken captive. Maybe pause this for a moment and then take a drink. They're brought to a prison in a base that is built within a giant skull. Fenn breaks in and rescues them. Fenn then pushes Dengar towards a propeller and tells him to give up the information to Leia. He says that he wasn't a partner with Boba, but he hears he has a base in the Angar system. So Luke and Lando follow another tip on another bounty hunter. Luke says it doesn't feel right, they were betrayed on this planet once before. Luke has a flashback of when he, Leia, Han, C-3PO, and R2, as well as Chewbacca, went to Stenos right after they blew up the Death Star. They ran into three mercenaries, Rick, Danny, and Chedho, who Han knew. They say they are now working for the Rebels. Danny has a hots for Luke. She's this red alien that just is very smitten with him. They clear out the rubble, and C-3PO translates hieroglyphics, which he sees on a wall. It reveals a star map, which leads to a statuette that they're looking for. R2 calculates the spot and starts digging. Rick mentions that the winged natives of the planets will not fly until the statuette is found because it's a great shame to them that they lost their god, and apparently the statuette is their god. The MacGuffin is then snapped up by the mercenaries. The Empire closes in and the natives fight them but then take the statue back from the mercenaries. Lando asks if he thinks the natives will help them out, and Luke gives him a look and says no. They decided to hide the Falcon after landing. They go to a bar and are attacked by a mob led by a man who said that Lando cheated him. Sounds like a Lando Calrissian adventure, They spot Bosk and manage to slip the mob to follow him. It turns out he is a she and not Bosk at all. Meanwhile, IG-88 hears about a reward on Lando. Lando and Luke team up with the mercenaries, whom are missing Cheeto. They see Han being transported in carbonite. They follow and it turns out it's Cheeto. And IG-88, Bosk, and the leader of the mob, as well as many more, are surrounding them. Luke and Rick fight their way out. They sneak back in to surprise them. Lando and Danny are taken captive. Drink. Chewie and R2 upset the flying natives by yanking them down and forcing them to fight. The bounty hunters flee and everyone else is knocked around. The crew leaves the planet with Danny surprising Luke by kissing him. Luke, Leia, Lando, the droids, and Danny stop on a planet where a couple rebels had crashed. They figured that a droid was with them that stored a bunch of things in their data tapes. They ask the local species, which looked like a cross between cats and Care Bears, if they've seen the data tape. Seriously, there's like a lot of cat-like aliens in these comics. Anyway, they point out where the Forbidden City is and say they were kept there as a memorial to him. The Imperials begin investigating the crash. Luke and Lando camouflage a Millennium Falcon. Danny and Leia float out to the city in a sort of hot air balloon after fighting a bunch about Luke. Luke realizes they're gone and takes a hang glider out of the city. Luke is attacked by a creature bigger than a Wookiee. It turns out that the Care Bears grow to giant size and are very aggressive. Leia and Danny also discovered this after they found the data tape surrounding the treasure. The creatures approach them and is then shot dead by Luke. They bring the data tapes back to the Falcon and then realize Danny is missing. She had found a ship and flew off to meet up with the other two mercenaries with all the treasure. The group then heads to an ocean planet where the living rebel, Tay Vanis, is heading. They meet with the leader of a fish-like humanoid species, Primor, with his son Moan. They tell him that the Empire has a fortress on the hill. The fish sent an ambassador to their fortress, but they murdered him. Lando, Chewie, and the droids go to the fortress to find Vanis's droid. They discovered themselves as enemies of Vanis with an axe to grind. They make a deal with Imperial officers to track down his droid. His droid, meanwhile, is a spy for Vader. The officer is told by one of the fish people of the betrayal. The officer sends missiles into the water tubes that extend onto the land for fish people. Many of their population die, and Luke and Leia are nearly drowned. The droid spy informs Vader that Luke was in the affected area of the missile. He decides to murder the officer for his rash decision. The fish people realize that they must completely abandon any hope of living on land or side by side with the Empire. Alright, next is an issue that's an excuse to have Leia leered at and Luke get in a four-way with the red aliens. We're not going to spend another moment on that one, so we're just going to skip ahead. Luke finds an abandoned transport, hoping it's Wedge, who went missing after the Battle of Hoth. No one's on board, but Wedge left a log. He was stranded on Hoth without a working ship with one rebel who was dying. They set up a residence in an AT-AT. Wedge faces several hardships while fighting off Wampas feeding on their Tauntauns. One day he goes out to scavenge and finds out that the other rebel is carved up. He realizes that it's because scavengers have come to Hoth to pick up any scrap left from the battle. Wedge steals one of their ships and flies off. They get in the ship and follow him, but are blasted by Imperial patrols. Wedge mentions that he's leaking gas and has run out of rations. The log ends. Luke and Leia look sadly, but then they see Wedge in a spacesuit outside the window. He realizes he had everything he needed to fix his ship and the components that were on top of the ship in a separate compartment. He also had enough scrap to buy meals and get him through the trip. He just forgot to update the logs. It's very celebratory at the end. This is actually a good place to cut off. I know that there's more story to continue with the comics. There's 3 more years of it. So if you do want to hear about these comics, once again, just shoot me an email to JediMastersDegree@gmail.com. Let me know. Or one of the other sites, as I told you, Instagram, Facebook. This is going to conclude all of the material that I'm covering for season one. The last 3 episodes are going to be some really fun conversations that I have talking about all areas of Star Wars with 3 generations of people. So enjoy and may the Force be with you.
That's insulting. M3 is my friend. You must think I'm an idiot. I would never sell my friend for less than 5.
We have so many shows on the Not Safer Network. Download the entire first season of the show not afraid of the Star Wars fan base, but maybe it should be? Jedi Master's Degree. 2 movies enter and only 1 movie leaves. Listen to Box Office Battle. Learn the history of television 1 show at a time with the podcast In Syndication. Music, anime, pop culture, movies, TV show, and the random babbling of 2 dudes who need to find something better to do. Check out A Feast of Geeks. The podcast that's perfectly described with its title, Movies with Wrestlers. And download the entire first season of the radio drama about a serial killer ripped from the pages of a 100-year-old cookbook, A Thousand Ways to Please a Husband.